I kind of feel like a broken record, but I could not get away from the word that he gave me. So I don't know who it's for tonight. But the word that the Lord gave me tonight was obedience. And, man, I feel like Joe said something about it this morning. I'm like, I feel like we just keep doing it over and over. So I don't know who this is for, but y'all need to turn your listening ears on, okay? So you get it, so you hear it. Son, sit down. So, there you go, right there. Probably the most obedient one I got. Anyways. But some thoughts that I've had over the last couple of days that I want to share before I get into it tonight. I want to express something that you may or may not be guilty of. But I feel like I need to say it. We can't hinder someone else's obedience by sharing unnecessary burdens with them. I was watching a Lord of the Rings TV show. I don't even know. But I heard this quote, and I was like, that is, like, I've never heard somebody say it that good, okay? So this is the quote. When we share a burden with somebody, the burden is either halved or doubled. I'll let that sink in. Whatever it is that you're experiencing on the inside, for whatever situation it may be, whatever's going on, when we share with somebody, we risk the fact that what we are feeling, that somebody else can take that burden on and it be double. Church, we got to be very careful with our words. We got to be very careful with our issues. I had a pastor's wife tell me this one time that not everybody can take or handle what you go through. She expressed the need to have people that you shared certain things with because not one person could handle it all. And there is wisdom in that. Because when we share, that is the risk that we take for that burden to be halved or to be doubled. So when we are doing that, are we going to affect whether or not they can be obedient to what God is asking them to do? Because we have a burden for something. But just because we have a burden for something doesn't mean that they should as well. Right? So, that's that. Now we're going to get into the rest of it. I really do feel like we've been on obedience for forever. But if I could put one word to my experience last year, that's the word. Obedience. When it don't make sense, it don't work out on paper, like I can't even explain how we survived, much less did things that we were able to do throughout the year, other than just because we were being obedient to God. So, obedience. So did your parents ever ask you to do something and you did it, but you didn't do it the right way? Maybe you had to redo it, or maybe you got in trouble because you took shortcuts. Listen. I got one up here with wide eyes. Yeah, I'm talking about you. Or you just halfway did the job. Hey, I need you to clean this space off. When I say I need you to clean this space off, that means nothing that does not belong should be left. Right? You know, as a parent, it's not so much that I just want my kids to do what I want, but I want to know I can trust them with certain tasks, you know? I want to know they're able to follow directions and practice obedience. Because not only does that show that they care, but that they trust my judgment when they do things the way they were told to do them. How do you think God feels when he's like, that ain't what I told you to do, or that ain't how I told you to do it? Because that obedience shows trust, right? Dad, you're going to need to come sit up here. It ain't, yeah. So we're going to be in Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 15. We're going to kind of be all over the place. But in chapter 15, it says that obedience is pleasing to God and that it is better than sacrifice. Did you know that in Scripture it says that disobedience is sin? Did you think about when God told you to do something and you were like, no, I don't really want to do that? That's not my gifting. Listen, you may not know you got that gift until you step out and do what God's telling you to do. You may not find a passion for it until after the fact. But how you gonna know unless you do it? See, when we fail to follow God's words and commands to us, we are in sin. A great example is King Saul. So here he is. He's chosen by God. When the people ask for a king, they got a king. And then later on, God says he's sorry he ever made him king. Like that, don't that just like hurt your heart? I don't know if y'all got Prime, but was it House of David? Is that what the thing? It's pretty good. I know they take their, you know, liberties. It's not 100% following Scripture, but it puts imagination to the story. Like, if you think about it that way, you can appreciate some of the things. Now, I ain't got super far in it, so if y'all don't hold me. I'm on, like, episode 5, okay? But I think it's pretty good. But, you know, there was more than one occasion in Scripture where Saul disobeyed God. But we're going to talk about a specific one when God was like, all right, that's it. No more. I'm done. I'm going to go with somebody else. That's what God did. God's like, hey, Samuel, get your stuff. We're going to go find somebody else. We're going to go find a new king. And that's exactly what Samuel does. So here's the way it starts. So Saul is preparing to battle with the Philistines, okay? He's already had some soldiers, like, leave because they were just, like, intimidated. They were like, no. So in 1 Samuel 13, 7 through 9, it says, some of them crossed the Jordan River and escaped into the land of Gad and Gilead. And meanwhile, Saul stayed at Gilgal, and his men were trembling with fear. Saul waited there 7 days for Samuel, as Samuel had instructed him earlier. But Samuel still didn't come. Saul realized that his troops were rapidly slipping away, so he demanded, "Bring me the burnt offering and the peace offerings." And Saul sacrificed the burnt offering himself. So, you know, in biblical times, there were certain things that only the priests were allowed to do. Okay? That would be like, you know, like you gotta be some sort of licensed minister to perform like weddings, you know, certain things that this is specific to one occupation. That wasn't Saul's occupation, okay? But Saul's like, you know what? I don't want to wait anymore. How many times do we get like that? We're like, I don't want to wait no more. I want to wait. That'd be like the kids that Joe was talking about this morning. They walk up to the gate and they just, I'm gonna step out here. Then what? Then what? So Saul goes ahead. He doesn't want any more of his soldiers to leave. So he's like, I'll just do it myself. Sometimes like our children, they be like, I do it myself. Listen, sometimes, bless them, Lord. I love the independence. But sometimes there are things that they just ain't big enough to do, right? How many times do we have that attitude where we don't want to wait on something or someone to help us, so we decided to just do it ourselves? I'm pretty sure Pastor has some scars because he got impatient and did some things himself. He's matured, though. You know, sometimes this happens to me as a parent because I ask my kids to do a task. Never gets done. So what do? I have to end up doing it myself. What also sometimes happens is it's not done in a timely manner. I get impatient and I go ahead and do it. Because, you know, in the way that my ADHD brain works, there is an order to the way things need to be done, okay? We wipe off the counters before we sweep the floors, right, ladies? It makes logical sense, okay? We need to get all the stuff off of the table before we load the dishwasher, because if we just load what's there in the sink, that stuff is going to get missed. There is a logical order. That's the way my brain works. Sometimes we need things done in a certain order in order to move on to the next thing. Sometimes when God tells us to do things, there's a reason for the order in which he tells us to do it. Sometimes when people get ahead of God, I just want to be like, oh, so you can see five steps ahead. You know what his plan is. Because what happens is people get, you know, ahead of themselves. They get excited. But they're trying to skip steps. But what happens in the steps are a process. A process is something that we need to go through in order to be equipped for the place he's trying to get us to. You ever think maybe that's what happened with Saul? Is because he was tall, he was big. They were like, okay, this dude right here, you look strong. You're going to be king. The preparation that he went through in his life, which it doesn't really share in Scripture, but I wonder about what that looked like. Because we know the preparation that David went through. Just a thought. There is wisdom in the timing in which God tells us to do things. In verses 10 through 12, it says, just as Saul was finishing with the burnt offering, just as he was finishing, not the next day, just as he was finished, like if he had awaited 30 more minutes, Samuel arrives. Saul went out to meet and welcome him, but Samuel's like, what have you done? Saul replied, I saw my men scattering from me, and you didn't arrive when you said you would, and the Philistines are at Michmash ready for battle. So I said, the Philistines are ready to march against us at Gilgal, and I haven't even asked for the Lord's help. So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering myself before you came. This is what makes me think of little kids when they find their independence and they're like, no, I do it myself. Like when the first time that you let them pour their own milk from the gallon jug, like, and you're just like gritting your teeth. It's not fun. I had to do that today, clean it up off the wall. Man. I've heard this phrase many times over the last 13 years. But you know, there is definitely something to be said for the assignment that God has given you. See, Saul was meant to be king. He was meant to lead the people in battle. But Samuel was meant to lead the people spiritually, not Saul. That wasn't his assignment. So in verse 13 through 14, Samuel, how foolish, Samuel exclaimed. You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. Have you kept it? The Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom must end, for the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. The Lord has already appointed him to be the leader of his people, because you have not kept the Lord's command. When God figures out that he can't count on us, he will move on. If God has called you into the ministry, don't ignore that, because God will find somebody who's willing, but you may be miserable knowing that you had it and didn't follow through for the rest of your life. I can't imagine doing anything else. When God learned that he couldn't count on Saul, after giving him chance after chance, he moved on. And it affected not only Saul's life, but the rest of his descendants' lives as well. Verse 10 through 11 says, then the Lord said to Samuel, I am sorry that I ever made Saul king, for he has not been loyal to me and has refused to obey my command. Samuel was so deeply moved when he heard this that he cried out to the Lord all night. This verse comes after Saul was told to do something specifically that when Samuel got to where Saul was, discovering he had not done what God had told him to do. Well, now Saul's sorry, but it's too late because he's already had somebody else in mind. In chapter 16, verse 1, it says, now the Lord said to Samuel, you have mourned long enough for Saul. I have rejected him as king of Israel, so fill your flask with olive oil and go to Bethlehem. Find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I have selected one of his sons to be my king. Obedience is a funny thing. Not only does it show when we follow what God tells us to do, that we trust him, that we care about what he has for our life, what he says about us. But it also shows him he can trust us when we obey. He proves to us that we can trust him when we obey, when we follow what he's asking us to do. So God tells Samuel, I'm ready to move on and you need to be too. He's telling him to go get his stuff, to go find David. We're all in many different stages of life in this room. These little ones running around, they don't have a care. They don't have a clue yet what God has in store for them. There have been and will be prayers that are prayed over them, things that we would hope for them, things that we would speak over them. But that may be inside the fence. It may be outside the fence. They're going to have to figure that out someday. But where are you in that stage of life tonight? Are you walking in the obedience? Are you taking a step and saying yes every step? Lord, whichever direction, wherever you want me to go, wherever you want me to stay, Lord, what do you have for me? Because what happens in my experience with people is if God continues to ask and we reject him, we say no, eventually he gets quiet. And then we're like, why can't I hear God? Why isn't he speaking to me? I don't know how many times we've had to ask the question, well, did you do what he told you to do the last time? He told you to do something? Are you doing what God told you to do the last time he spoke? Stand with me tonight. Father, I thank you for these people. God, I thank you, Lord, for this message of obedience. Lord, I pray that it would weigh on our hearts tonight, God, that we would search our hearts and our minds, Lord, to remember the things that you have asked of us. God, to evaluate, to make sure, God, that we are doing those things that you're asking us to do, that we are following when you give us instruction. Is there something in your life that God has asked you but you have not yet obeyed? Or maybe he asked and you just don't know what obeying looks like. If you're in that place tonight, I want you to step forward so that we can pray together with you. Maybe you find yourself in a place in the position like Saul. You would say that I've gotten out of ahead of myself. I got impatient instead of waiting. I moved. If that's you tonight, then I want you to come up when we open these altars. The Lord was disappointed in Saul. I'm not going to say that God is disappointed in you, because I don't really think that's because he loves us. I don't think that's his heart. I want you to think about it like this. If we're not following in the Lord's obedience, then he is disappointed for us, because he knows what's on the other side of the obedience. He knows the plan that he has. He knows the good things, the reward. Are you feeling like you missed out tonight? Father, we thank you. Search our hearts tonight, Lord. If you're in this place and anything that I have said tonight, you feel like you need to come to these altars, then come. Let us pray with you. Let us stand with you. Let the Lord encourage you tonight. Let the Lord speak to you tonight. If you're in a place where you need to hear God's voice, you need that direction so you know what to do in order to obey, then come to this altar tonight. Father, we thank you.